Please open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Both Paul and Peter, actually not just limited to them, but I would say Jude, I would say to some extent John. They write things that are a little bit hard for us. Hard because we might not like what they say and how they intend it to be applied. Here in 1 Peter 2 and into chapter 3 come some of those things. And I think one of the reasons it's more difficult is simply because we're kind of independent and think we know better than God. But in fact, we don't. Peter writing to aliens scattered abroad, scattered from Judea, from Jerusalem, and now to us today, the same things are absolutely applicable. Last week, we went through verses 11 and 12. So let's start there. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. I've got just a couple more comments to get us into the next few verses. Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and strangers, let's stop right there. We didn't bring into it the fact that Paul brings out that our citizenship is in heaven. These are aliens and strangers because they've been scattered from persecution. But really, we are of a different kingdom. We are of a different citizenship if we know Jesus. And I think that is very clear in the scripture. And so there's some application here as well. We are still here in this place. Looking at ourselves as displaced citizens, haven't yet arrived at our home, at our place, at the kingdom that he is developing. Some have gone ahead of us and they're there already. I believe that the scripture tells us. But as aliens and strangers, of which we are in one degree right here, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Maybe one more comment is appropriate here from what has been said. It stems back actually from what Paul said in 2 Timothy about wanting to be a vessel of honor that is fit, useful to the master. In my shop, I've got some items that over the years I've purchased, whether a yard sale or new, that essentially I've never used. Some of them are too cheap. They broke right away. And I'm still kicking because I'm going to fix it someday, you know? I don't know if your shop is like mine or not, but they are unfit for my use. They are useless to me. Bring that around to this idea that he's talking to us as believers. Through Paul to Timothy, for us to cleanse ourselves from these things in his context, so that we are a vessel that is fit, useful to the master, a vessel of honor rather than dishonor. So also Peter, I think, is bringing up that same idea, and I just want to push that one more time. These choices that we can freely make and still be a Christian are waging war against our very soul. They are things that are going to sidetrack us, sideline us, put us in a place where, yeah, God hasn't forgotten about us, but he certainly is not able to use us, except for maybe a bad example. I mean, those words are a little powerful, and they're supposed to be, because that is what God is wanting to do within us, is change us, purify us, cleanse us. So, beloved, as I urge you, as aliens and strangers, you're living in a foreign land. Abstain from fleshly lust which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So outlive the accusation. You know, those slanderous reports that are just not valid. There are times where we don't, and we talked about this last week, to defend ourselves is not going to help. maybe to be silent and just keep on moving forward, and your own reputation is going to cover the base, and God knows. What I found interesting this week, last night as I was studying this through again, I didn't realize this ahead of time, but the word excellent in verse 12 is exactly the same Greek word as the word good deeds on down. So keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, same Greek word. And it is the word that is for beautiful. It isn't the same word as in Philippians 4:8 that we brought out last week. Whatever is excellent, let your mind be stay on these things. It's a different word. And it's a word that is a word of purity, of goodness, of beauty. So in the keep your behavior that way so it looks right. They are judging our character on our behavior. We talked about that actually a bit last week. What we do does matter. What we say does matter. As Bev brought out from somebody else's report, what we say comes from what we're thinking. If our mind is on stuff that's perverse, sooner or later it's going to come out the mouth. You wonder, where'd that come from? Well, it came from where you've been living. Or maybe it's deep in the past and whatever. I don't know how all that stuff works in our brain. Fearfully and wonderfully made. It's complicated. Keep your behavior right, so that in the thing which they slander you, they'll have to turn around and say, that was a wrong slander, when they see your excellent behavior, your excellent deeds, as they observe them and glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, what I've written in my Bible, I think, is very valid, that excellent behavior or good-looking, proper behavior really is described in verse 13 and following. 13, at least down through chapter 3 and verse 7, actually sums it up in 3:8. Submission. Submission is a hard, hard word to independent people that want to do their own thing. Especially those of us, and that's a lot of us, maybe most of us, that come wired to think we know more than God. We know better than God. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. That wording is also included in Paul's discussion in Ephesians 5 about submission, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Submission is placing ourselves under, for the Lord's sake, every human institution. Another discovery I made this week. Earlier on, so I've had a chance to mull on it some. The word institution there. Let me show it to you. Romans chapter 8. Please turn to Romans chapter 8. A very, very familiar set of verses from 31 down to 39. Who can be against us if God is for us, right? Verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth. You know what's coming, right? You know what this is all about? You remember this? Really familiar, right? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. That's our word for institution. Back in 1 Peter. Here, nothing even created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, that's wonderful. Peter uses the same word in a different context. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves, place yourselves under, for God's sake, never forget who it is for and why we do it. That the Lord might be at work in us and through us, that excellent behavior looks like this, that we place ourselves for the Lord's sake under every human creation. And the word is used and translated as creation more often than anything else, which opens up a great big wide gamut, but then he specializes it when he says whether to a king as one in authority or governors sent by him. Now we understand what Peter is addressing. Not different than Romans 13 where Paul said it. Why? Because they had the common author. His name is God. We are here and we are living in a different place. We are living by a different set of laws that God has set in order for his children to do. Yet we are living in a social place where many don't know that same God yet. We are living in a place where there has to be some governing. Otherwise, it's absolute. Every man did what was right in his own eyes, and we'll kill ourselves. History has shown that. It just is going to turn out that way. We are self-destructive like that. And it's essentially because of our independence and selfishness. But what Peter does here, the very next thing, is he gives us the purpose of the governing authorities, if they're paying attention to God. Watch it happen, then we'll come back and chat just a little bit. Whether to a king as one in authority. By the way, we don't get out from under that because our leader is not called a king. The implication absolutely is governing authorities in any social society. As one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Government does not have to be complicated. What God says is evil is still on. What God says is good is still on. And government should be so simple as this. And you know what? It seems to me our own government here started out really a lot more simple than where it is today and where it can still go. All the additional things, not necessarily to punish evil or to praise and support those who do good, but rather control factor, because people aren't able to control themselves, or for certain idealistic specialized groups. And we go on and on and on, and in our government we still have an ability, it seems, so they tell us, to vote in people that will be like-minded to God, or at least to ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for that, because I've been in the countries where there have been dictators and tyrants and horrible, horrible people. I've been there. It's a different type of society. But Peter wrote to them too. Nero was coming up to power when Peter wrote this. There is a way as a stranger and alien here to negotiate through this stuff. These two verses seem to imply that, hey, you know, the government is there for a good cause, submit to it. Later on in chapter 3 and 4, endure, bear up when you're treated wickedly for your good deeds. And I believe that is by government as well. There's a way to bear up and walk through it and have an attitude that we won't ever have to apologize to man or God about. And when government, any government, would come in and try to be God, I'm going to be careful on that one because that can be thrown at anything we don't like. We order you not to preach in the name of Jesus again. Then what did Peter and John do? There's a higher law, and they appeal to that law. Whether it is right in the sight of God or man, go ahead and judge, but we cannot disobey God and obey you. When it comes to something of that dire of an obstruction that governing authorities put in us, there is a higher law to appeal to, but I believe there is a submitted heart that can appeal to that higher law. They were willing to pay the price. They didn't go and gather guns and grenades to throw at, you know, the bad government people. They said, we're going to continue on preaching the word of God. Now, apply it how you will. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, I didn't come up with the idea. I'm called to teach it, though, and I'm called to apply it. And I'm telling you what, it's not that easy. Some years ago, when Star and Sherry Lou and I got to go to Mexico and take a couple of weeks away, very nice time, because of the society of Mexico where we were, I was able to see how regulated we are as a country. And it was not that easy to come back and deal with. Regulation on top of regulations and regulations that regulate the regulations at every level, having nothing to do with punishing evil or encouraging the good. See, I feel strangulated. What do I do? Well, I can do what comes natural and fight it. I can do my voting against it and have a good attitude. Or I can continue serving the Lord where He has planted me and not try to run away or to kill people. And at this point, I have to suck it up and say, God, give me the grace. Because there are certain regulations that are absurd. I admit that. You know that. Government can be simple. But it never stays there. Okay. Keep your excellent behavior excellent. So that they're slandering you, they'll have to back off and say they weren't guilty of what I told or said that they were guilty of. Let me pause there for a moment. Open up to the can of worms I just opened up. Any comments, questions? Go ahead, David.
In verse 12, in the day of visitation, that's judgment day?
It could include that in a wide scale. I believe, and it's actually kind of up in the air between commentaries, what it's talking about, whether it's the Lord taking care of it at the time or when Jesus returns. I relate it to that time when Jesus returns, of which we're in Book of Revelation getting mighty close, you know, because it's all about that, ultimately. And I take it to be that. And that day is the day of God, episcopeo, looking over and coming to take care of those details.
So given that that is maybe judgment day, it's kind of interesting. It seems like it's saying that our behavior is going to be talked about by these people on that day.
We chatted about that just a bit last week. Oh. It seems that there can be kind of a double thing that happens here, one or the other. And that is that right now, here in this life, they will see the good behavior and say, oh, that wasn't true. Or, in the future, it will be mandatory, they will not have a choice. They will have to admit that they were lying about us. When that day of reckoning comes, you follow what I'm saying? So, I think it's right to look at it, and I've seen the one happen here. Hopefully we can see that even more, but guarantee the Lord remembers, and it will be adjusted. It will be taken care of. Sir?
This is precisely what Pastor Erich Bonhoeffer struggled with. He wrestled with this. What is the right thing to do when you are under a profoundly and thoroughly evil government? Are you still obliged to obey and submit? He made the decision to support the resistance, and he was executed for it eventually. And he knew that that resistance was going to use violence against this man. And yet, you know, he wrote extensively about it, as you're probably aware. It's a difficult thing to come to terms with. What should we do and where is the limit? When are we encouraged to say no? It's very tough. I don't know how to, you know, come to grips with it myself.
I don't know how to come to grips with it either. I just finished a book 2 days ago. Day before yesterday, I guess that's 2 days ago. The story of a family that gets a little bit larger in Yugoslavia. What was Yugoslavia? As they were drawn in the late 30s into the 40s into World War II. And of the 11 million people that perished, that died in World War II, Yugoslavia gave up 1.7 million of them. Maybe the least publicized of the nations that took heavy tolls would be that country. And this particular family certainly saw the evil and the need for the resistance and sided with that resistance. They made the choice, however, to never pick up a gun. So that's a different angle yet.
Oliver didn't pick up a gun either, but he understood the relevance of what his choice was.
Yeah. As did these. These atheistic, absolute, wanting to be God types of governments that have, you know, come into human society, there's a God. And if they tell me to believe otherwise, I can't believe otherwise. If they tell me to not teach my children, I can't do that. If they tell me not to, you know, do it on a Sunday morning. Choices to make for sure. And to what extent the resistance, it's something we will maybe have to wrestle through ourselves independently, you know, and lean on each other for wisdom and help. But it may, I mean, so many others over the last 2,000 years have had to face into that very thing. It's a tough one, David.
I don't think we have to do it on our own.
I agree.
I think we look to God, and I think He gives us wisdom. I think He gives us courage. He gives us some words to say. And that time when we get to the point where we say, no, I think He gives us that. I trust He gives us that. I can't do it on my own.
I like to label it the grace of God. And I believe the grace of God will take us through and give us the wisdom, give us leading. And if we die for it, hey, we're in His presence. I mean, there's no question. It is.
He can deliver. You know, look at the three sons of Israel and the fiery furnace. We have examples of that even up to this day. People miraculously delivered from certain death for His glory, for His honor, and for further use eventually down the line.
And others died. For His glory. Stephen, the first of those, right? And James, you know. Anyway, Richard, you had something?
I think it's right here in Luke, that's my attitude, number 15.
The very next verse is, yeah, keep the, that is right. The very next verse, which gets bigger in chapters 3 and 4. Let's start at verse 13 again to get a run at it. Submit there, and there's an implied therefore, by the way, right here. Implied, not in the Greek text, though. Keep your behavior excellent. What's it look like? Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, creation, whether to a king as one in authority or governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do what is right or of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Later on, in chapter 3 and 4, it may be the will of God that we suffer for doing right. And we've got to say, Lord, your will be done. Give me wisdom. How do I deal with this? How do I work with this? Let me put a little comment in here. Just flashed. Adrian looked back and saw your face. Adrian is from a place that is going through a long-term civil unrest because his part of Spain wants to be independent from Spain, correct? Catalonia. And there's been a lot of slanderous things said about them that I have read in my news. And when I asked him, chatted with your dad, I think, about it when he was here, that's not always true what the news is telling me. What a shock. You know? There's a slant to it and an agenda to it. Many of these people are peaceful and just want to be out from under things they don't agree with as a nation to themselves. It is going on current in our brother's world back in his home right now. Now, we were chatting just before anybody got here with Fred. Lives in Brazil also with his Brazilian wife. And the new president of Brazil, if you've been tracking with news, has brought a whole lot of controversy. And that does, we chatted, we don't have to bring stuff out, but it affects him. It brings in the civil unrest. You know what we've got in our country. You know, it's just, whoa. One of the problems that we have in our country, by the way, as I see it, is the phrase, we the people. Do you guys like that phrase? Have you heard that before? We, the people, right? It was on some important document, I recall, right? We, the people. Who's that? Those on extreme right would say, well, we, the people. Ha, 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 ha. Those on extreme left would say what? We, the people. And those dead in the middle would be, we, the people. It's paralyzing to a degree. I still like it, though. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to straighten our government to you. I have no idea what I'd ever do if I was in some governing position except die. What do we do? I am told to pray for my governing people. All the way up to the one, whether you call them a president or a king, I am told to pray. That I know from the scripture. Anyway, we the people are to pray. Yeah, Beth?
We talked about the word for creation or institution. And I think part of the key to this whole thing says in Romans 8, earlier in the chapter, for the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption. So it's that slavery to corruption that really screws everything up.
Thank you.
So, Dan?
Yes.
Complicating, I think, the whole issue and our consideration, and I don't mean to imply that it's the primary consideration, but it's certainly one. It has to do with how do we then practice what we think is correct, and how do we communicate that to other people in such a way that it makes a difference. Most of us do not really think beyond our own feelings, convenience, how I am immediately affected in my well-being at home or with my small social group. How do we weigh these things, and how do we do it in such a way that it makes a difference? You know, it's one thing to have the instruction here to do that which is right, to do that which is good. How do we go about determining what is right and what is good? And it's not adequate to simply say, well, look at the Bible and what it says, because often I will interpret the Bible in such a way that it's convenient for me and what I want in the way of the result. So, I mean, it just becomes a very complicated issue and not simplistic when we try to sort our way through it. I was reminded to sit here and listen. I don't want to beat a dead horse. Francis Schaeffer, in one of his books, I think it's Escape from Reason and The God Who Was There, I believe. He has this descending staircase chart where somewhere in our culture there are a group of ivory-towered thinkers who really have very little association with real life that is going on in the street. But they're thinking about how should this thing work? And they come up with an idea that they give themselves to. And what do? They teach the college profs. The college profs say, well, that makes sense to us. Let's turn around and teach our students. So they do. Now the students, who are very young, don't have much life experience, they buy into it. They go out into the business world. They go to whatever their profession is. They go to their families, and they pass this along. Mm-hmm. Eventually it gets down to the entertainment industry. Our movies, our television programs, our books are filled with it. And then we, down here at the bottom, well, not quite the bottom, we look at that and say, well, if he thinks that, it must be right. I mean, after all, he sold a million books. And then finally the church gets a hold of it, looks at it and says, wait a minute, you guys, this is all screwy. Let's change it. And so we mount our campaigns to change it. In the meantime, the ivory tower is on to something else. They've already rejected that which we're in a panic about. I think that one of my alma maters, Biola, now University, has come up with a marvelous idea. Let us teach philosophy. Now that's a word a lot of us want to stay away from. Okay? Let's teach philosophy, because that's what the guys in the Ivory Tower is doing. Let us teach philosophy correctly. Determine what that is. Let us train the people to be the college professors. Let's infiltrate the system. And they've been doing that. Now, I'm not sure about the cause and effect. There's at least one secular university in this country, pretty highly regarded. And today, their philosophy department reads almost like a seminary staff. Okay, but here we are. We can toss our ideas around. But are we dealing with the issues? And how do I determine what the real issue is in such a way that I can address it and be heard in the culture and the society where it makes a difference? I'm not saying I have the answer. But Dan, at some point, we have to come to grips with that. Yeah.
And this, it is written, is for me to apply. There is a certain attitude and then actions that I'm to keep excellent. And it may, in fact, turn the tide for some people. Fred, you had something as well.
Yeah. As much as we are dismayed that what we see, as they've said, indoctrination from the top down, there is some reason to hope. If you look at what happened in East Germany, in the Czech Republic, in Russia, the young people who were so thoroughly, you know, thumbed on and indoctrinated and told what to believe, they saw through the hypocrisy eventually. They lost faith in that system quite thoroughly. And that was the real drive behind the collapse of that entire artificial structure. Okay. These people came around.
Thank
so,
you.
Let's hope.
Let's kind of wind this up back to verses 15, 16, sum it up in 17. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. We can enlarge on that one because we are now free in Christ. Yet, do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. And that is exactly the, I think, the description of the reaction that I have known in my little life of some Christian people. They will gloss it across with Christianese and some Bible thing, and inside, underneath, there's evil, and that is simply a covering for it in reaction. Now, whether it's against government or whether it's against our neighbor or whether it's whatever, somehow it's going to gain for us. Act as free men. Yet within that, do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves. There's submission again. Bond slaves to God. Servants of the living God. Yes, I'm free to do this. I can do my own thing and stand up for my rights here or there. Yet, is it really God glorifying or is it me glorifying? Am I the one that's, you know, it stops here? And he kind of has a summary for this first little section of submission. Honor all men. That is done, I believe, by understanding that God created that person too. That person also has a stamp of God on them. There is something to honor in life itself that God has given to them. Whether they believe the same thing we do or not doesn't even matter. There's an all men thing here. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. So that's a specialized group out from under the all men, or within it, I should say. Particularly for those that were related to, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And I can't help but notice it doesn't say fear the king. Within all of this, it's as unto the Lord. He is God. And to fear him is to know and to acknowledge, to think on him as the ultimate authority. And for us, Father also. Right? Fear God. Within that, yes, honor all men. Sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do with some men that we run into. Love the brotherhood. Sometimes that's not so easy either. But there's a way to do it by the grace of God. Fear God, honor the king. To recognize there's stripes on his shoulders. That however it works out, God is placed there. There is a way to respect and honor the authority, even if the guy is completely out of line. How can I do that? How did Peter do that with Nero? How did Paul do that with Nero? Now that's the worst of the worst. What about the others that he had to deal with underneath Nero? That, yeah, whether it's from the Jewish leadership, the Levitical leadership, or ones like Pilate. How did Jesus deal with Pilate? Very, very graciously. and said to him, "The one that delivered to me, you, me to you has the greater sin." Gave him the opportunity. Gave Pilate the message, and Pilate declared, "I find no evil in this man." Well, Pilate could have been just reamed out by Jesus from his life up to that point, and Jesus probably knowing what he's going to do afterward. But he dealt with him graciously. I would say he honored him. Anyway, we can bring up more examples. We're getting out of time here. Go ahead, quick Dave, and then quick Bobby.
And for those of us who, I think we have respect for the scriptures, we're convinced they're right, past, present, future, what do we then do with the idea that is pretty clearly taught? There ain't going to be a change. We're not really going to affect the larger culture very much, but we are responsible for ourselves and still teaching the truth. So that complicates it further. Stop.
Okay, thank you. Bobby?
I think that David is an excellent example with King Saul and how God had already promised him that he would be king, but the way he treated Saul was totally wrong.
Thank you. It's a great example. There are a few others to pull out too, but it's probably more rare. But that is an excellent example there. I have to say, God help me. Lord, help me. So, Father, I want to do that as we kind of tuck this in for the week. Father, I pray that you would bring our mind back to this place, bring our heart back to this place. But please help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you so that we're not trying to cover up evil with some kind of thing on the outside, but rather be through and through to the very core of our being, lovers of God. Help us, we pray. Thank you for your grace that gives an ability. Father, for your grace that did lead Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that did lead this family that I just read about, Lord, and many, many others through history. Your grace was clearly there for them. Some released, others put to death, as Hebrews 11 talks about. Well, Father, we want you to be glorified and pleased with us. So get our attention. Get our attention, Lord God, each one of us individually that claims to know you, so that what we do would honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.